हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रदाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चादशतारिणे सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी अशक्यादेशकारिणे जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना ಯೋಗಮಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯೋಗಮಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯೋಗಮಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ Rama Hare Hare Jaya गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय
Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman 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 Jaya Gauramitai 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 Jaya Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jayam Shupala Paramahamsa Parivradavacharya Ashtotra Shara Shri Shriman Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharashila Prabhupadiki Jayam Tilila Pravishta Om Shupala Paramahamsa Parivradavacharya Ashtotra Shara Shri Shriman Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Maharashila Prabhupadiki Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Brindiki Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakurki Prem Saho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinaha Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhaniki Vrindavan Dhamiki Mayapur Dhamiki Madhuravuri Dhamiki Jagannath Puri Dhamiki Dwaraka Puri Dhamiki Ganga Maiki Yamuna Maiki Tulasi Deviki Bhakti Deviki Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Mashupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale. Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswadevam. Gauravani Prajarine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलिताम् येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टाम् स्थापिताम् येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यम् ददातिम् सुपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुम् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातम् सहगणरघुनाथान्वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपदाम् सहगणललिताम् श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांद राधाकांद नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्याश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराण मुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम् नमोऽस्तु देव्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायदपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णं प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धागोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयध्रतजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामापि कर्णघोरमकर दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशवा पाराशर्यवजःसरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानककेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद् भारतपङ्कजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिनः श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यल्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुद स्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैः सवे வேதை சாங்கபதை க்ரமோபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சமகாஹ ஞானாவஸ்திததத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் நவிதுசுராசுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணாய நம. ஸ்ரீமதி ராதிகாயை நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த. Chapter 18, we're discussing the verse 63. இதிதே ஞானமாக்கியானம் குஹ்யால் குஹ்யதரம் மயா விமர்ஷெய்ததசேஷேண யதேச்சசி ததா குரு. Krishna says that idide jnanamakhyadam, the confidential knowledge. Krishna says, how is that? Guhyal guhyadaram maya, most confidential of all, that knowledge I have spoken to you. Krishna says to Arjuna. Then what he says is, vimrsheida dasheshena. You have got the choice now to make to vimarshana. Vimarshana means to critically study this. Vimarshayada dasheshena. And then after that, you have the freedom to do what you want to do. Yadhechasi tadha kuru. So, Krishna said this to Arjuna at the end of this 63rd verse in the 18th chapter. 63rd verse. So, as I mentioned before, this is the beauty of the Vedic literature. It's not telling you that you have to do something. Because the reason being, Krishna feels that he has presented the facts as they are to Arjuna. The facts as they are to Arjuna. It is up to Arjuna now to make that decision. It is up to Arjuna to make that decision. It's the same thing with all of us also. Bhagavad Gita is there. Srimad Bhagavatam is there. To read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and to understand and to make that decision. Arjuna is in our situation. And therefore, you have to see everything from that level. Otherwise, it is not that something, it is between Krishna and Arjuna, nothing to do with me. That's not the way to study Bhagavad Gita. This Arjuna in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita is nothing but a representation of us in this world. So, Krishna says to Arjuna that I have presented everything before you. It's up to you to critically study this. Because only after studying things properly, one should act. Otherwise, it's not proper. It's not that somebody has said something, we kept acting on that. No. Vimurshayada dasheshana, Krishna says. Vimarshanam is necessary. And then, yathechasi tadakuru. After that, do thing what you improper. You should do that. So, because of this approach in spiritual life, this philosophy of Krishna consciousness has survived all these years. You can see that also. Whenever you force things upon people, on spiritual activities also, if you force it upon them, they would not be able to accept it wholeheartedly. On the other hand, if you explain things to them properly, and then leave the choice to them to make that decision, what they should do in their life, that is the way to present these facts. Because the knowledge of the soul, as Krishna has presented in the Bhagavad Gita, is a scientific process. From verse 2 onwards, Krishna started talking about ashochyan anyashochastam. There itself, Krishna mentioned this, that whatever we are doing and talking about our knowledge is useless. Because Krishna says there, gadasune gadasumscha nani shochandi pandidaha. One who is lamenting in this world about coming and going in this world, he is in ignorance as far as Krishna is concerned. So none of us who are not in that consciousness, because we do lament when we have to come, we do cry when we have to leave. So where is the difference? We are all in that category. Gadasune gadasumscha. So because we are like that, Krishna says we need to be educated. we need to be educated. And that is our education from that verse 10, from second chapter starts. And now Krishna is finishing that. And then telling us that if you want to study this science of the soul, spiritual science of Bhagavad Gita, study this, and then if you understand it, fine. And then if you have critically analyzed it in your own mind, accept it within the heart, and then yathechasi tatha kuru. That was Krishna's instructions finally. Now, afterwards, Krishna says to Arjuna that because of this, this science of the soul was not enforced upon anybody. At any time in the history, you will not find people who are forced to do this. No, it was always the option was given to the people to take it or to leave it. To take it or leave it. And that is the reason why it has survived that long. Even today, people are reading Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because there they find that they have got that freedom to make the decision. Make the decision. And normally, what happens is, because it is so so free in its presentation and its acceptance, many in the history, many times different civilizations and cultures have come and tried to destroy it. They try to destroy it by forcing their understanding of things. On trying to destroy the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita will stand on its own. It doesn't require any support from anybody. It can, because of the knowledge of the soul in this. And those, as long as there are people in this world who are searching for the truth, and as long as there are people who have the understanding that behind all this material creation and the cosmic manifestation, there is another personality behind who is controlling the show behind. As long as they have that understanding, they will search for Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. They will find Krishna in the Krishna's words valuable and they will come to that. So therefore you can see that it absorbs everything, every knowledge that comes, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita comes up above that. It'll come above that and it'll show its beauty. And the beauty of that Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is such, no matter many philosophers in the world, all over the world, they have presented their logics and arguments to influence the society at different times in the history since Bhagavad Gita has spoken. But in spite of that, all of them has come up, but again Bhagavad Gita comes on top of that and presents its facts. So as soon as Bhagavad Gita is heard by an intelligent person, he sees that this is something beyond our understanding. That is the success of Vedavyasa Maharshi. Vedavyasa Maharshi has succeeded in that, in understanding us and in presenting the truth in front of us so well that people from time immemorial and even today continue to search in Bhagavad Gita, the science of the soul. So after that, Krishna says to, what's interesting here is, in this verse is, Krishna did not create a cult after him. He didn't say, oh, now you all follow me, because I've told you all these things. Whether you're convinced or not convinced, come along with me. Krishna didn't want that kind of followers. Krishna says, here is the science of the soul. If you feel convinced, and if it is, you are able to accept it, then, yathechasi tada kuru, you can still do what you want. No one with some intelligence and who has got some understanding of Krishna consciousness can reject that. That is the beauty of this presentation. Then Krishna says here, Sarva guhyatamam bhuya shrunume paramam vacha ishtosime dhradamiti tato vakshamide hidam. Krishna says, Sarva guhyatamam bhuya, you have heard the most confidential knowledge, shrunume paramam vacha, but I will give you a summary of everything what I have spoken so far in a few words, and you have got the capacity to understand things which I am sure that you know how to understand the essence. Ishtosime dradamidi, because you are so dear to me, you have been surrendered to me and accepted me, I am going to tell you tato vakshyamide hidam, what is good for you, I am going to tell you once again in one verse. Krishna is going to say that, and with this verse Krishna has said whatever he has to say about this. Manmana bhava madbhaktam madhyaji mam namaskuru mama veshisi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Krishna says, manmana bhava madbhaktam, manmana means completely absorb your mind in me. Mad bhakto, Krishna says, become my devotee. Manmana bhava mal bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru. Offer, make all your sacrifices to me, namaskuru. On, pray your obeisances to me. Mam aveshyasi satyam de pratijane priyosimim. Krishna says, with your completely surrender to me, accept me, pratijane priyosimim, you will, then you will come back to me. Krishna says, there is no doubt about that. In the 9th chapter of Raja Yogam also, Krishna spoke the same words, with a little difference. There Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mam aveshasi satyam de, almanam malparayanaham. Where there is no difference, it's the same thing what Krishna spoke in the 9th chapter, Krishna has repeated again here, with a very little difference, only the last few words. Parijane priyosime. So, here Krishna says, Manmana, your mind should be absorbed in me. Absorbed in me means absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Then, Madbhaktam, that is where we have problems. Because when, as soon as Krishna says Madbhakta, our mind will go into that form of a devotee with tilak and the dhoti and kurta and all that. No, there is to be very understand that Krishna is taught. Whenever Krishna says mal bhakta, you must immediately go to the 12th chapter. That is where Krishna spoke about who is a devotee, isn't it? Krishna spoke who is a devotee. And that devotee's description is in the 12th chapter. Just like, as I mentioned before, that when we say a sannyasi, we will immediately think about the man saffron with danda in the hand. This is, I have not got there yet. I am different. That's not the real, what is lakshanam? What is the symptom of sannyasam? Sannyasam is mentioned like this, that nadu mundanam, nadu vastram, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. The symptom of sannyasam is he has got the knowledge. What's that knowledge? That vasudeva sarvamidi, everything is Krishna. And to surrender to Krishna and to serve him, without being fearless, completely in all sides of life, completely finished with this world, and totally accepted Krishna's authority, and surrendered to him, pure surrender to Krishna, that is sannyasi. Similarly, here also when Krishna says bhakta, man bhakta, Krishna is talking about that bhakta, who will match with those what he has spoken about in the 12th chapter. If you remember, advaishta sarva bhudanam, maitra karunaye vajaha, Narmamo nirahankara sukadukka samadukka sukakshami sandushta sadanam yogi yadalpa dhrida nischaya mai arpina mano buddhir yomal bhakta same priyaha yasmanno dvijade logo loganno dvijade jaya harsha amarsha bhayo dhugir mukto yasajame priya yona hrishyadi na dveshti na shochadi na kamshadi sarvarambha parityagi yomal bhakta same priyaha. So like this Krishna has spoken up to the verse, the last verse. It's only a small chapter. Bhakti Yogam is a very small chapter, 20 verses. And the last 8 or 10 verses, Krishna is only talking about who is a devotee. And that's the devotee Krishna is talking about, mal bhakta here. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mam aveshasi satyam de pratijane priyosime. That Krishna says, if you understand this, this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Simply to take Krishna shelter. Simply to take Krishna shelter in all ways. That is what it is. If Krishna says here, I will tell you what is that you have to surrender into. Now we come to something more important. Here, Krishna says from verse 2 onwards, from chapter 2 onwards, verse 10, right up to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, is nothing but an exercise to understand what is Krishna. Isn't it? To understand what is Krishna. It is up to that Krishna we have to surrender. So, here comes the question, what is that Krishna is talking about? In several instances, Krishna has mentioned what he is. Isn't it? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajande imam buddha bhava samanvidaha. Krishna spoke like this. Aham sarvasya prabhu. It is not that Krishna is not talking about you come. When he Krishna says you pay your obeisances to me, one may think, oh, Krishna is a little bit puffed up, isn't it? He's telling us to surrender, pay away obeisances to me. Have you seen anybody telling like this? That why you are not paying your obeisances to me? It may sound like that, but then you have to know from which level Krishna is talking about. And then when you understand that, you cannot do anything else except to pay your obeisances. That's the difference. Once you understand what Krishna is talking about, you cannot refrain from paying obeisances to Krishna. That is where it comes to. On the other hand, when you simply hear this, without hearing the rest of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken till now, as soon as you first, I understood Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Mandato Madhya Jivam, everything else is clear to me, I don't need to read anything else. This is why we shouldn't read one verse in Bhagavad Gita and pick from there and go on with that. That will lead into complications. And that you can see, that then always in our mind these thoughts will come. How can Krishna tell us to pay our obeisances to Him like this? Why should He say like that? These questions will come. And therefore, Krishna is saying we should know what is Krishna. And that is what we are discussing all these different chapters. And time and again, Krishna will remind Arjuna what is Krishna. Krishna will remind Arjuna who He is, isn't it? Mai tadamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina malstani sarva bhudani najaham teshu avastidaha. If you remember all these verses in the past, you can look at all these verses and see what is Krishna. Mai tadamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina malstani sarva bhudani najaham teshu avastidaha. I am in everything, but I am not anywhere. We discussed this verse also before. Maya tadavidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. This avyakta murtina, this is the material manifestation. Where did this come from? This came from Krishna. Where will this go back? It will go back to Krishna. So, in the beginning, it was only Krishna who was there. In the end also, it's Krishna there. So, from there you can see, when Krishna is saying this, what else can you do except to pay your... Once apply our own logic, you can see it is Krishna who is present in everything. And that is the point Krishna is trying to make here. Krishna says here that Mai sarvam idam prodam sutre manigana iva. Isn't it? He said that. Sutre manigana iva. Just like a thread goes through the all the pearls while making it a garland. When you make a garland, the thread that goes through all the pearls, similarly, Krishna says, I am that thread of the whole creation. I am the thread of the whole creation. You can't take creation out of me, because I am the thread that is keeping it together. I am the thread that is keeping it together. Once we see these points, what Krishna has discussed before, then immediately you can see that there is nothing that remains without Krishna. Without Krishna, nothing exists in this world. Once we have understood these things of Bhagavad Gita in that way, in the different ways Krishna has spoken about Krishna in different instances, keeping all that in your mind, only what we can do is to pay our obeisances. What else can we do? That is our situation. This is what Krishna is reminding us. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru Mamaveshasi satyam de pratijane priyosime. If you have understood that, Krishna says to Arjuna, Mamaveshasi satyam de, that I'll tell you the truth, Krishna says, and you will not lose a doubt on this. Pratijane priyosime, because you are dear to me, I'll tell you the truth. In this way, Krishna has spoken about that to Arjuna. So, throughout Bhagavad Gita, you will see this, references to Krishna about by Himself. Those things you shouldn't forget. As I mentioned, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, that verse. Then, Mai Tadamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtina Matsthani Sarvabhudani Nachaham Teshu Avasthita. Then, few verses before, Krishna said again about Himself. What is that? Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hirdeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandrarudhani Mayaya. Yandrarudhani Mayaya. That is what we are. And Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hirdeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. That is Krishna. So we should keep those verses in our mind and then there will be no difficulty in paying obeisances to Krishna. When we ignore all that, then otherwise we will have doubts. Why should I pay my obeisances to Krishna? We will ask. So Bhagavad Gita has to be understood like that. It should be taken in summary, everything, nothing to be excluded from Bhagavad Gita, because that's how Krishna has presented about himself to Arjuna. Only then that devotional mood will build up inside. When you know about something, only then you can experience that the mind will accept it properly. That is why Bhagavad Gita should be studied from beginning to end, without any, there is no point in saying that these are the key verses, other verses are not key verses, and picking up key verses here and there. No, Krishna has presented a great science altogether in Bhagavad Gita, from beginning to end. And it is a message in that. And to come to this point, Madhyajimam Namaskuru, we need that message. And it is that message that will change our mood, how to pay our obeisances to Krishna. So, that's that. Then, if we move on to the another important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 66. Everybody knows this verse. The interesting thing is, everybody knows this verse, but there is no other verse in Bhagavad Gita which has been misunderstood so much by everyone. Isn't it? That you can see when we talk, you'll come to know why it is misunderstood. Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam raja aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami maashucham. This is that verse. Isn't it? Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam raja aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami maashucham. Now, why this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita? It is a very famous verse. Everybody, no matter which parampara you come from, they all accept this is the key verse of Bhagavad Gita. Because when Krishna started speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in the second chapter, Krishna started with a very important message to Arjuna. What was that? Ashochyan Anyashojastvam. That was that verse, isn't it? Ashochyan Anyashojastvam Pratyavadamscha Bhashase Gadasuna Gadasumscha Nani Shochandi Pandidaha. Pandida, a learned person, will not lament, Krishna says to Arjuna. Nani Shochandi. He will not feel any shochaniyam. That means he will not cry on something which is not worthwhile crying about, lamenting about. That's how Krishna starts Bhagavad Gita. Up to that time it was Arjuna Vishada Yogam and all that. But Sri Bhagavan Vaja begins from there, isn't it? So, ashochyan anyashojastvam pratyavadamscha bhashase gadasuna gadasumscha nani shochandi panditaha. The first symptom of a learned person is that he does not lament or cry about something. Coming and going is a part of this world. I have nothing to do with it. This is the nature of a person who has understood, who is learned. This was Krishna's first proposition. Sorry. When that verse was spoken, up to this time, Krishna was elaborating that principle. In this verse, Krishna says the answer to that. What is that? Aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami maashucha. Don't cry. Up to this time, he was talking about crying, people crying. From verse 10 onwards, in second chapter, till now, Krishna says people will cry because they are not panditas, they are not learned. But in this verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, don't cry anymore because I will offer you that liberation from this material world. Now, when Krishna said, in other words, this is that verse, direct response to that verse in the second chapter 10, verse 10 or 11, whatever that is. So there Krishna said that don't cry, people don't cry who have come to that realization. And here Krishna says the final words to Arjuna, that sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami maashucha. So this verse, how all people have misunderstood, let us look at that first. Once it so happened, there was someone talking, reciting this verse. So the person who was hearing it, after the whole lecture was over, he went up to the speaker and told him. Out of that, he says, I only covered half of it. I've got 50%, he said. What's that? സർവധർമാൻ പരിത്യജ്യ ഐ ഹാവ് ടേക്കൺ ബട്ട് മാമേകം ശരണം വ്രജ ഐ ഹവ് നോട്ട് ഗോട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഫാർ സോ ദ സ്പീക്കർ ടോൾഡ് ഹിം ദെൻ യു ഗെറ്റ് ദ അഹം ത്വം സർവഭാവേ യു വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ബട്ട് മോക്ഷയിഷ്യാമി മാസുജ യു ക്യാൻ ഫർഗെറ്റ് ഹി സെഡ് So our way of analyzing is like that. Sarvadharman Paritijya. Okay, I give one up. And not only, this Sarvadharman Paritijya has caused so much problem in so many people's life. Somebody says, as soon as he heard that, Krishna says, I give up my family life. I give up my family, throw them all out. And I'm going to join the temple. I get my salary and settle down. I've done everything what I have to do. Even this understanding people have got. From this verse. They come to the conclusion like that. They think they are properly situated. Why? Sarvadharman Paritejya, they have thrown out everything else. They gave up the job, they gave up the family life, everything. Came to the temple, joined. Now, I am working for Krishna. So, aham tuam sarvabhavebhyo. Now, where is it? This is the way it is understood. What can we do? What can we do? When people start using Bhagavad Gita in these ways, it causes problems. Because this is not, no Acharya has spoken in this way, that this is what you have to do. That Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Vraja means that I'll become your employer and you work for me. That's not what Krishna, if that was the case, you'd have given us a contract as well with it, which you didn't do. It is so unfortunate that when we try to understand Krishna's philosophy, what Krishna is talking about, because we have in God that mandabuddhi in head. We can't think beyond, or we want to use Krishna's Bhagavad Gita for our own sense gratification. That's what it is. That's what it is. Aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo moksha yishyami maashaja. Just like this person came up and told that sarvadharman paritejya, he says, I have done it. So at least give me 50%, he said. So the speaker said, yes, you will get aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo, because once you stop working in this world, there won't be any pabam from that, isn't it? Only because we are engaged in activity, in the material activity, different kinds of material activity, we accumulate our sinful activity. So he said, yes, you are released now, sarvabhavebhyo, all pabam is over, but mamegam sharanam raja, you are not agreeing, you are not willing to do that. That is not happening to me. That is taking time. This Mamekam Sharanam Raja is a difficult thing. So Krishna, he says to him that if it is like that, that last fourth line from that also let us pull it back. Moksha Ishyami Mashuja can wait for them. So Sarvadharman Paritejya means Aham Tvam Sarvabhavebhyo, you can get. But Mamekam Sharanam Raja, if it doesn't happen, Moksha Ishyami Mashuja also you can forget. In other words, you see. So there is a science. Krishna is talking about a science. Now, this thing called dharmam, first of all, we have to know what is Krishna talking about this in this verse. Often we will have this crisis will come up in every devotee's mind, whether what we are doing is proper, isn't it? We all want to know that we are following Krishna properly, not that something I have concocted my own ideas on Krishna's Bhagavad Gita and executing that and thinking that I am properly situated. No, that's not going to work. You can't cheat Krishna in any situation. Inside, outside, he is there. Andar bahischa, Krishna says. So, from there, you see, this thing called dharmam is a big topic. We, in the Bhagavatam, when we discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam, you saw in the first canto, when Sri Narada Maharshi came to Vedavyasa Maharshi and spoke about dharmam, what all this was discussed at that point. At that point, it was spoken about that, isn't it? What did Narada Maharshi say? Sri Narada Maharshi, who instructed Vedavyasa Maharshi on Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, after writing Mahabharatam, was unhappy. Why was he unhappy? He was unhappy. He was not having a fulfillment in him. No fulfillment in him. We have spoken about this in the first canto. So at that point, Narada Maharshi asked Vedavyas, what is actually disturbing him? What's actually disturbing him? Sri Narada Maharshi was told by Vedavyas that through Mahabharatam, I have discussed this most important topic called Dharmam. That's what was discussed. Dharmam was discussed in Mahabharatam. You have to know what is the definition of Dharmam.
Dharayati iti dharmaha. This is how it is called. Dharma means what exactly you are. That is your dharma. Prabhupada used to translate that as constitutional position. Constitutional position. As spirit soul, we have a constitutional position. And that is why in several instances you will find the definition as Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi. All kinds of definitions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that I am not Brahmana, I am not Kshatriya, I am not Vaishya, I am not Shudra. I am not Brahmachari, I am not Grihastha, I am not Vanaprastha, I am not Sannyasi. Who am I then? Gobi Bhartrapadakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I am life after life, Gobi Bhartrapadakamalayo, Krishna's servant. I am servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna's servant. That is how, as many servants as you want, you can add on to that. That is my position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put forward this as the constitutional position of the living entity. Not Brahmachari, not Grihastham, not Vanaprastha, not Sannyasi, no Brahmana, not Kshatriya, no Vaishya, no Shudra, nothing of that. But this is our constitutional position of the Jiva, servant of Krishna. That is our, in other words, that's what it means. So, Dharayati iti dharma. What we actually are, that is our dharma. For example, If you take fire, what is the dharma of fire? Two things, heat and light, isn't it? Heat and light is the dharma of fire. If you exclude heat and light, fire doesn't exist. Fire cannot exist. So something that if you remove from that, it cannot exist anymore, that is its dharma. That is its dharma. You see? So exactly like that, the individual soul, has a dharma. That cannot be taken out from that. Everything else is superimposed on that, on the living entity. That cannot be taken as its dharma. For example, the color of the flame, or the form of the fire, this is not the dharma of fire. That is not the dharma of fire. The dharma of fire is heat and light. If these two things has to be there in fire. Otherwise, it's not fire. Similarly, you talk about sugar. The sugar has its dharma is sweetness. It is its dharma. Once you take that out from that, it's not sugar anymore. Isn't it? So similarly, the soul also has a dharma. The soul also has a dharma. And that dharma is what we are talking about. That dharma is all that what we are talking about. And this is one thing to understand when we are talking about Sarva Dharma and Paritejya. Secondly, what we have to remember is this, that thing that keeps this whole creation within himself, Brahman as is referred to, the whole creation is coming from there, isn't it? Who keeps this whole thing going? This whole creation, what's going on in this world? Everything, people are interacting with each other. Somehow the other, some sanity is there in this world, isn't it? In this creation. So many different kinds of living entities functioning in different levels. All this is happening. They are born, they are growing, and the six different kinds of changes that's happening to the living entity in this world. Six different kinds of changes that's happening to the living entity in this world, which means taking birth, growing up for some time, and then staying in that condition, having offsprings, and then it starts deteriorating, decay, and death. So like these six, Shat Parinama Bhedam they call it, these six different kind of things that's happening to every living entity and to the matter in this world, that is referred to as the way the creation goes on, isn't it? This creation is going on like that. We have seen in the Bhagavadam that the creation comes, it stays, and then it dissolution happens afterwards. Creation, sustenance, and then dissolution. These three things are happening one after the other. One after the other. So, that is the dharmam of Brahman. Brahman's dharmam is this coming out and expanding like this and going back to Brahman again at the end. If you remember, aham eva samega eva gre nanyadyal sal sal param tasmad aham yade dacha yova shishye yade sosmyaham The first verse in the Chalishlogi Bhagavatam, in the second canto, Bhagavatam. It says that, Aham evasam evagre, it has come from, I am on the top, beginning of only me existed, Krishna says. Nanyadyal sarasalparam, everything else has come from me. Tasmat, at the end, it's only me remains. Yoga shishyeda sosmi aham. So in the beginning, Krishna says, it's only me who existed. In the end also, it's only me who exists. In between, beginning and the end, all this drama goes on in the creation. All this drama goes on in the creation. Whatever we experience in our short span of life, in this whole period of the creation and sustenance and dissolution, we come for a short time and we watch this whole drama and think and get confused and go away from here. This is what happens to us, isn't it? But Bhagavatam is telling us that Bhagavatam is telling us that try to understand this, Krishna says. Try to understand this, that tasmadaham yadedacha yovashishyata sosmiham. In the Chalishlogi Bhagavatam, Krishna has, Sri Sukadeva Goswami says that. So these things, these things are not to be forgotten while discussing dharma. Secondly, when Sri Narada Maharshi came to see Vedavyas, and Vedavyas was asking Sri Narada Maharshi, what has gone wrong? What has gone wrong in my life? Why I am unhappy now, at this end of my life? Why am I unhappy? He asked that question, isn't it, to Sri Narada Muni. Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas that the thing what you have done so far is good. He didn't say it was bad. He said it's good. Because you've spoken about dharmam, isn't it? Dharmam was discussed in the Mahabharatam, is nothing but the topic that is discussed in Mahabharatam is dharmam. Vedavyasa Maharshi spent a considerable amount of time compiling Mahabharatam, 125,000 verses. And all those three verses, the only message he had to tell the world was about dharmam. Because it is based on dharmam that the other things, whether it is in this world or the life after death, is built up. For example, after dharmam comes what? Artham and kamam, which are required for this world, arthagamam. Arthagamam is the two things. Arthagamam means economic development and sense gratification. Isn't it? Economic development, sense gratification we want in this world. All of us, we want that. And then when we die, we go back and then we want liberation also. We are not happy with what we get here. We want there also. Both we want. Isn't it? Arthagamam we want and moksham also we want. So, what is that the adhishtanam? Adhishtanam means the basis or the foundation on which the other three thing happens. Artham, kamam and moksham. The foundation for that is dharmam. Dharmam is the foundation for that. Unless one is dharmic, it is based on dharmam, the other three things is not going to come. This is the very basis of Vedic philosophy. Only that is built upon this dharmam as the foundation, arthagamam and moksham can happen. You may wonder sometimes how come people are becoming rich then without doing any dharmam. That is a Maya's way of doing things. That's not actually the richness is not in money alone. That also you have to remember. Richness is not money. Richness is that satisfaction, peacefulness in the mind, in life. That is richness more than anything else. When one is not getting disturbed with this world, one is satisfied with one's life. That satisfaction is the richness. That satisfaction is the richness. So, dharmam is a very key factor in life. Very key factor in life. And this is the dharmam was the main criteria which has controlled Vedavyas in writing Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam came from this dharmam conception. So Srinara Maharshi says to him, you have discussed dharmam elaborately in the Mahabharatam. Why? But you made a big mistake there, not glorifying Krishna. The center personality in Mahabharatam is Krishna. Everybody else comes later. But instead of glorifying Krishna, you simply glorified dharmam there. And that was why things have gone wrong, he said. You see, that's where things have gone wrong. When Srinarada Maharshi said this to Vedavyasa, Vedavyasa had an answer. He is not lacking any intelligence in any way. He also has thought about things very well. He says to Srinarada Maharshi, after all, suppose I have not discussed dharmam. Say I didn't discuss dharmam. And I simply talked about Krishna. Simply talked about and glorified Krishna. Asked everyone to take Krishna's shelter. What would have happened, he said. What would have happened was, he said, people will say, make this as an excuse. I am surrendered to Krishna, what dharma, what do I care? This will also happen because people are like that in this world. Always it's been like that. It's not only today they were like that. It was then also, it was like, Vedavyas felt that if I simply glorified Krishna, without talking about any dharmam, I simply stuck with only discussed Krishna and Krishna consciousness. What would have happened, he said. He asked Srinarada Muni that question, which is a very sensible and intelligent question, isn't it? That I spend all my lifetime to discuss dharmam for this reason, because at least let them come to the platform of dharmam, and then you move on from there to pure Krishna consciousness. That is what it was in Vedavyas' mind when he spoke about, when we wrote Mahabharatam. This was the reason why Mahabharatam came out first. It was then that Srinarada Maharshi pointed out the mistake there. Srinarada Maharshi says to Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srinarada Muni says to Vedavyas, that is fine, but one important thing you have forgotten, that when somebody surrenders to Krishna wholeheartedly, without expecting anything in return from this world or any other material happiness from this world, completely in the mood of surrender to Krishna and accepts Krishna's shelter totally, he doesn't have any dharmam at that time to perform. That is that word Krishna says there, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, Srinarada Maharshi's words are very powerful about that. So, this Krishna consciousness, if it is not executed in the way Srinarada Maharshi told Vedavyas, but if we try to mix up these two things, that's always going to cause problems. That Srinarada Maharshi says to Vedavyas that dharmam is important, no doubt about that. But pure Krishna consciousness or Krishna bhakti, that is why Prabhupada said there is hardly one devotee in this whole movement, he said. There's hardly one devotee in this movement. He was able to say that. Because the person who has accepted Krishna consciousness in that understanding, with that understanding what Srinarada Maharshi was saying to Vedavyas, that is very, very rare to be seen in this world. It is such a elevated thing. For him, there is no dharmam to consider about. Because the fact is, if you come to that platform, you will not do anything which is not as per dharmam. It becomes this, it's already gone that beyond that stage. He is not bound by any dharmam anymore. So long as we have not reached that stage, dharmam must be followed. That is the important thing. So here, because it is at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here, that if you come to me in that state of mind, sarva dharma and parityajya, that you can parityajya your dharmam, sarva dharmam, every dharmam, he says, you can give up. Provided mamegam sharanam vraja, surrender to Krishna wholeheartedly. Only then, aham tvam sarvapabhyo, only then you will be protected from the sinful reactions. Otherwise, sinful reactions have to come. They cannot stay away. Just because I have come and done a few things here and there in my life, and I expect that now I become a devotee, tell me, you made this offer to me in the Bhagavad Gita, where is it now? I can't ask that to Krishna. So in what background Krishna has spoken these verses, we must know. When we say sarva dharma and parityajya, Krishna says yes. And exactly what Narada Maharshi told Vedavyasa Maharshi also. He says that യസ്യാസ്യ ഭക്തിർഭഗവത്യകിഞ്ചനെ സർവൈ ഗുണൈസ്തത്ര സമാസദേ സുരാഹ ഹരാവ ഭക്തസ്യ കുതോ മഹൽ ഗുണ മനോരഥേന സതി ധാവതോ ബഹി. ഇന്ന് ഭാഗവതം ഫസ്റ്റ് കാൻഡോ യു ക്യാൻ സി വ്യാസനാരദ സംവാദം ഗോസ് ഓൺ ലൈക് ദിസ് ഫോർ എ വെരി വെരി ലോങ് ടൈം. ദർ ഹി സേസ് ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ഇസ് ഇൻ യസ്യാസ്യ ഭക്തിർഭഗവത്യകിഞ്ചന സർവൈ ഗുണൈസ്തത്ര സമാസദേ സുരാഹ. One who has got pure devotion for Krishna, pure, it has to be pure, otherwise it's not devotion, it has to be pure. And when that pure state of devotion comes, then he does not owe anything to this world. He does not, is not bound by the law of this world. He is not anymore controlled by the laws of dharma. That doesn't affect him anymore. It is only at that point, when one comes to that, you can give up all the dharma. There is a question. When can we give up chanting the holy name or getting up in the morning or attending Mangalarti or studying Srimad Bhagavatam? This question is always there. When can we stop it? Sometimes some devotees have asked this question. How long do we have to do this? So if they have come out with such questions, they need an answer also. Yes, they can give it up when they come to this stage. Up to this stage, they have to do it. No matter who we are, what we are, we have to continue doing this up to that point. When a stage will come, that this situation, consciousness will come to your person. What's that consciousness? Sarva dharman parityajya mamegam sharanam braja. That total surrender to Krishna. Total surrender. Nothing else in this world matters. Nothing else in this world matters. How many of us can honestly stand in front of Krishna and say to him, nothing else matters to me in this world? How many of us can say? At least I can say, I can't say that. Because I cannot reach that stage. I don't know, maybe somebody can say that. But in my situation, I can't say that. So therefore, sarvadharman parityaja is not an easy thing. As I said before, it is the most misunderstood verse in the Bhagavad Gita. People have concocted all sorts of things from that. Oh, I have given up everything now. I completely surrendered to Krishna. Completely surrendered to Krishna. But it is not so simple. It's not so simple. So Krishna is saying here that when we study this verse, we have to be very, very careful about it. We have to be very, very careful about it. So when we talked about dharmam, you saw how dharmam refers to the like it is the constitutional position of a living entity. Constitutional position of a living entity. Constitutional position of a living entity. Similarly, the constitutional position of Brahman is that Brahman holds the whole creation together. That's Brahman. The manifested for creation is Krishna, is Brahman. So, all these things are the dharmam, as we refer to here. As the dharmam we refer to here. Then, our understanding that I join an organization, giving up everything and come in there, and make my living there, and at the same time create problem also there, this is what sarvadharman for us. Isn't it? Sarvadharman, I have done sarvadharman bharitija. I've joined and I've done whatever I need, I'm taking from there, and then I cause other problems, politics there, whatever I have to do, I'm doing all that. And then I feel that I'm properly situated. Everyone else who is a karmi, who is working in this world like an ass morning to night, he is not properly situated, I am properly situated. This understanding will come from that. So, Krishna says here, so dharmam is the most important factor in all these things. Dharmam is the most important factor in all these things. Not only that, once we come to that stage, what will happen to our mind? That's also important. It's not so simple that we can say like that. So far, Krishna has spoken about one important point, isn't it? One important point. What was that? He told Arjuna through various angles, explained to him that so long as you are not identified yourself as a spirit soul, but on the material body, you are in ignorance. So in this verse, Krishna is saying here, you have to rise up to the platform that I am spirit soul, not the body anymore. Not the body anymore. Because the problem is, on a bodily level, to accept all these things is very difficult. It's very difficult. Because as long as we are on the bodily concept of life, as long as our bodily identification is strong, what will happen to us is all the anarthas will also go along with it. It is only when we free ourselves from the bodily identity that we can do this properly. Only when, because so long as we are on the bodily identity, thinking that I am this body, which has followed us from many, many lifetimes, our tendency will always be to look after the body, and with that, the identification, aham, amedi, me and mine, will be there in this world. So, when Krishna is saying there, at this end of Bhagavad Gita, this verse, Krishna is also saying to Arjuna, you have to rise above that to the platform of the spirituality, platform of spirit soul. Only in that situation, you can do this sarvadharman paritejya. Otherwise, it's not possible. As long as we are in the bodily level, this will continue to be like this. It is not possible to escape from that. It's a part of that. So, sarvadharman paritejya, mamegam sharanam braja, Krishna says, to sharanam braja, that is what is called sharanagadi. Sharanagadi is the important thing here, that sharanam. How to surrender to Krishna? That is the next question, isn't it? How to surrender to Krishna? Because it's all good when it comes to, as I said before, we have heard Bhagavad Gita for so long time now, all these 18 chapters. Now we are thinking, why I have not made any spiritual progress? Isn't it? Actually, the problem is only starting now. It's only starting now. Because all that what we have heard now, you have to put that into practice. And that is where all the problem comes. Hearing and talking about it is easy. But when it comes to practice, it puts us into problems. So therefore, Krishna is explaining it a lot more. So here we have seen Sharanam Braja. That is why we need the help of the great authorities on the bhakti process. This thing called Sharanagadi as it is referred to, there are six factors which is referring to Sharanagadi. We are talking about the process of bhakti. In Bhakti Yogam, this is an important thing. What is that? Tidiksha and Sharanagadi. These are the two important things in bhakti process. Tidiksha means ability to tolerate everything in this world. So many things will come, giving you all kinds of problems for the mind, for the body, everything. So many problems will come. Ability to tolerate that is tidiksha. And the other thing, along with that, is what Krishna says, that is tidiksha is the important factor. And then Sharanagadi, what Krishna is, the discussion on Sharanagadi. Sharanagadi means, generally, there are six factors which is referring to that. Six factors referring to that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book on Sharanagadi is there. This Sharanagadi is actually spoken in Vayupuranam. Vayupuranam is the one which gives about Sharanagadi. But that's been expanded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a much larger scale to tell us what this Sharanagadi means. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in much more length. And if you read that Sharanagadi verses from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you will know that it's not so simple that what we can do to develop that consciousness. There he said, there are the Vaibhranam's verses are like this, that Krishna says there that the important things involved in a devotee's life, this is we are talking about Mamegam Sharanam Raja. When Krishna said that word, how it applies. First thing is, Krishna says there that Anugulasya Sangalpam Pratigulasya Varjanam. That is the first and second one. Anugulasya Sangalpam means, in spiritual life, as a devotee, one should only accept what is necessary for his spiritual life. That is how bhakti process is. He should accept what is necessary for his spiritual life, to maintain the body, and as well as his interaction with the world outside. Only what is necessary, he has to do it. Necessary means, there again the question will ask, should I not read newspaper every day? Should I not watch television? That's also necessary, you can say. Should I not go to work? Should I not go and watch the football match? This is, for me it is necessary, somebody will say. For you it may not be necessary. So where is, how can you define anything in these things? But that is up to the individual to see. If only by watching a football match you can chant 16 rounds, then you should go to the football match. If by doing that, if you can play, if you can chant 16 rounds, it's better to go to football match and then satisfy that and then chant the holy name. Otherwise not. But the thing Krishna is saying here, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying this, anuvulasya sangalpam. Take it what is needed, because our goal is Krishna, not this world. This is the first thing. Krishna is the goal. Not karmam, jnanam, this, that and the other, brahmam, all this is forgotten. Goal is Krishna. So, that little attachment to Krishna's lotus feet, that's a goal. So, anuvulasya sangalpam. What is favorable for that? If you make your life in such a way, that you can always keep Krishna in our activities, that is the most favorable thing. That such a way, life should be molded. That is what the important point is. Anugulasya sangalpam. Everything favorable to make it Krishna conscious. That's the way one has to develop it. It is not possible to design everybody's life from this. It is a person who has to do that. Those who are in the process of bhakti. They have to develop that process, way how their life can be tailored to that. Anugulasya sangalpam. That is what is important. Then, what is the next one? Pratigulasya varjanam. He should also be very, very discriminative in life. What to reject and what not to carry with him. So much garbage is thrown at us every day. So much garbage is thrown at us every day in one way or the other by the society and everyone. And do we have to, do I need it? That's what we have to think. Pratigulasya varjanam. What is not useful in Krishna consciousness, we have to reject. That we have to learn. And there is no easy way of doing that. That is a decision by the individual himself. That's a decision for the individual himself. Anugulasya sangalpam pratigulasya varjanam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the verse from the Vaibhranam, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained. It's a very long description of what all we have done in our life and how important it is to change that pattern of life. This is what the Mamegam Sharanam Raja Sharanagadi talks to us. So, anugulasya sangalpam pratigulasya varjanam. And then Krishna says, Then the Vaibhranam says that only Krishna can, Krishna will always protect me. This is the third one to think. Rakshasi Vishwasam. The whole faith that even though I am not endeavoring hard to live, maintain my life in this world, still Krishna will protect me. That Rakshasiddhi Vishwasam. Rakshasiddhi Vishwasam. That Krishna will protect me in all circumstances. That faith in Krishna's protection, that is important for Sharanagari. Rakshasiddhi Vishwasam. Then, fourth one, Krishna is saying, there it says there, that Goptratve Varanam Tada. That means that the Krishna alone can protect us. First thing, Krishna will always protect me. Secondly, Krishna alone can protect me. Nobody else can protect me. These are all very key elements in Sharanagari. When these things are not followed, our Sharanagari won't be perfect. Sharanagari won't perfect. So, anugulasya sangalpam, pratigulasya varjanam. Two. Rakshidasini vishwasam. Krishna will protect me. And Goptratva Varanamada, only Krishna can protect me, nobody else. Because our mind is always saying that, okay, if I have a good bank balance, I'll be alright in my retired life, everything will be going very well. Or I have complete faith in my pension, that will come, I'm sorted now for the rest of my life. And that is not proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. People expect all these things, isn't it? So that's not proper understanding. So, Rakshasiddhi Vishwasam Goptratva Varanam Dada. And then last two things, Krishna is talking about Nikshepanam Agarpanyam Shadvidha Sharanagati. Nikshepanam Agarpanyam, two things. Nikshepanam means, Krishna is saying there, engage everything for Krishna. Mind, intelligence, senses. In everything in Krishna's service. Akarpanyam. With total humility. No karpanyam. Not maisa. But total humility to in dealing while serving Krishna. So when you have these six things, what is spoken in the Sharanagari by Bhaktivinoda Thakur has elaborated this in a big way. If you read that, I think that book is available downstairs, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sharanagari. If you read that, you will see there that the Sharanagari process is what is expected of us, of all devotees. That Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Mamekam Sharanam Raja means the Sharanagari. Sharanagari process of Sharanagari. And then Krishna says, Aham Tvam Sarvabhabebhyo. If it is all done like that, I will relieve you from all your sinful reactions. Krishna says all sinful reactions you will be released. And Moksha Ishyami Mashucha. Then you can come back to me. Once you have come to this stage, there is no necessity to discuss about moksham anymore. Liberation is not an issue anymore to be talked about. So, what Krishna has told here is that, if it is like this, why did Krishna talk about karmam, bhakti, jnanam? He could have spoken from the very beginning also Sharanagari, isn't it? What was the need to go through all these things? Isn't it? So 18 chapters Krishna talked, 6 for karmam, 6 for bhakti, 6 for jnanam. He has spoken like that. What was the need for all this? This question will come automatically, isn't it? Because this Sharanagari is not a very easy thing. That is why. Because this Sharanagari is not an easy thing. Our samskar, what we have brought with us, that's what samskar, isn't it? From previous lifetime and this lifetime. Our approach, attitude, and our mental frame of mind, they are all against it. Against the Sharanagari. That is the most difficult thing. Everybody will say, it is very easy to explain all these things in sitting in a in a chair and talk to others. But when it comes to practicing it, it is very, very difficult also. Because these things are our vasanas, our karmam, and the modes of nature, maya, so many things there, that is in which we are embroiled. In other words, we are caught up in that. And for us it is difficult to accept Sharanagari easily. That's why Krishna says there. And because of all those things are there, these contradictions are there in us, we have to get through this. And that is where karmam, jnanam and bhakti comes. Karmam, jnanam and bhakti comes. Because through these different yoga systems, Krishna expects that by practicing them, one will come to that state of consciousness for Sharanagari. Otherwise it won't happen. Often, as I said before, people read Bhagavad Gita and they said, why all the other 18, 17 chapters Krishna has wasted when everything is so clear in this verse? Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarvabhyebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashucha. Very simple. Krishna says, I'm ready, now I'm here, I am to surrender to you. As soon as Krishna says, oh, have you surrendered to me? He says, no, I have to go to work tomorrow. I'll come back and then talk to you later. This is my so-called surrender. So it is not possible, we have to be very honest about that, that surrender to Krishna properly means going through whole Bhagavad Gita properly first. Because the things that is holding us back in surrendering to Krishna, that we have to take into account, which is our karma vasanas, our modes of material nature, which is very strongly influencing us, and our prarabdham that has given this body above all. Prarabdham is the cause of this body. And this body will stay in this world as long as that prarabdham is there. It's not going to finish before that. So because it is like that, we cannot write off those things and say that I've surrendered now, everything will go fine. It's not going to go fine. So therefore, karmam, jnanam, bhakti, these three processes Krishna has talked in elaborately in the Bhagavad Gita. And apart from studying Bhagavad Gita, when one executes the sadhana, when one executes the sadhana, particularly chanting the holy names of Krishna, for a very, very long period of time, what will happen is a samskar will build up inside. That samskaram that comes from the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. that will come to that person. And when that happens, at that time, the other illusions will go away from his mind. Then he is qualified for complete Sharanagati. He is qualified for complete Sharanagati. And then he does not require any sadhana after that. He doesn't require any sadhana because he has surrendered to Krishna properly. And then he does not see anything else in this world except serving Krishna. He has come to that pure Krishna consciousness platform where he does not expect anything from this world, from anybody in any way. Which is a very, very difficult thing to attain like that. And once you reach that stage, then we can say at that point that all the other our spiritual activities can stop. So you see how what a position that is. It's not a simple 2 minute affair. It's not a simple 2 minute affair that I can say that I read Bhagavad Gita, I understood everything. Now what do I do next? You can't, that question itself is foolish. That question itself is foolish because I hadn't thought about it enough. Krishna won't speak a verse like this at the end of Bhagavad Gita after speaking to Arjuna in Kurukshetram, that he has to say this, such a simple thing. That people make it so simple when they say this, this Sarvadharman Paritecha verse. They think that they have made it so simple for themselves without knowing the implications of that. Krishna says here that when you have come to that platform, you can leave all dharmam at that point. At that point, you can leave all the dharmam and you can take my shelter. All you have to do is to accept Krishna's shelter. And Krishna says, I'll protect you at that time. I'll protect you at that time. So till that time, we have to execute what we have to do in this world. And Krishna says here, actually, one thing will come here. Who releases us from material life? Who is releasing us from material life? Often people have this misunderstanding. It's my sadhana that is releasing me from material life. Material existence, in other words. Actually, it is not. It's not your sadhana that is releasing you from your material existence and liberation. And liberation is offered not because of my sadhana. No. It is actually Krishna's mercy that liberates us. This is what we have to always keep it in our head. Never to forget this point. Because what happens is normally, we chant Hare Krishna every day, every morning, and as and when time allows, most of the devotees are chanting the holy name. And they have taken Krishna shelter. There is no doubt about that. They have taken Krishna shelter. But at the same time, we have not succeeded yet in wiping out our track record from the previous lifetimes and in this life also. And still there is a lot of attachment to material life. And we also still have desires in our mind, different kinds of desires. And when all these things are there, Sharanagati is not possible. Sharanagati is not possible. So, till we get to the point of Sharanagati, one has to practice sadhana, one has to execute his sadhana. One has to follow the three processes of karma, jnanam, bhakti, everything. And eventually, when stage will come, that he will be able to leave everything and take complete shelter of Krishna. That is Sampurna Sharanagati, complete Sharanagati of Krishna. That will come to him. It is at that point one can bypass all the other things. One can leave all the other things. And even then, when he comes to Sharanagati, he will know that his sadhana or his execution of spiritual activities is not what has released him from material life. He will know that that's not what has released him from material life. Rather, he will realize it was Krishna's mercy that has released him from material life. It's only through Krishna's mercy that can happen. That can happen. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. You can put any claim that I've done this so many lifetimes, I've done this, that, anything, doesn't matter. At the end, it is Krishna's mercy that will release you from this. So, but because it is, sometimes people say, it's Krishna's mercy anyway, so what can I do about it? That's not the approach then. That is also wrong. The mercy won't come freely like that. For mercy also you have to work today. That is the sadhana. Sadhana is that process by which we are crying out to Krishna to show that mercy to us. What is this chanting? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is the process. This is the process to get there. So, we'll continue. Then, the Sarvadharman Paritija verse is so famous. You don't know how many people have come out from this verse. They have drawn very interesting conclusions. In one commentator says that it is like this. There is a famous commentary in Marathi called Jnaneshwari. Jnaneshwari's commentary, Jnaneshwari says about this like that. That a person who has gone through this, his mood will be like this, he says. The mood, the person who has reached that stage. Just like a great king from the big kingdom, he came to a village and he saw a village girl and he married her. By chance he got attracted to her and he decided to marry her. He married her. After marriage, what will happen to that girl? She will not think anymore, I am that village girl, will she? She will think, no, I am the queen. Because she has moved on from her position to this position. Similarly, Jnaneshwari says like this, a devotee also, up to this point of Sharanagati, he will have to go through a very, very long process of dealing with this material world, dealing with family life, dealing with so many things what we see every day in our life, all that things will go on. The moment Sharanagati comes, there is only what's left is Krishna, nothing else. Then other things are not anymore significant. That is Jnaneshwari's statement. It's a beautiful example of saying to us what is surrender means. It's not so easy to explain this also because it involves ourselves to a large degree. Let's go to the next verse.
Idam ne na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushave vachyam na cha mam yobhyaso yadi.
Krishna says to Arjuna that Arjuna, idam ne na tapaskaya na abhaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushave vachyam na cha mam yobhyaso yadi. This is important. Krishna says, don't go and talk all these things what I have told you to anyone and everyone. It's not going to happen. Nothing will work. Because there is certain qualifications for this, to study Bhagavad Gita, to understand Bhagavad Gita. What is that qualification? That's what Krishna is saying here. That as much as possible, you should talk about this knowledge to others. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Because if you remember in the last verse, Krishna said that come up to your original identity as spirit soul. Come to that platform first. Only then you can act in that way. Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Unless you are in your spiritual platform, in your spiritual consciousness, you cannot act. Because in so many instances before, Krishna says, elevating yourself to your spiritual identity is the first thing. Because that's what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita beginning. Isn't it? So long as we fall from that all the time, it is difficult to study these things. Because jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarubam durasadam. Krishna says to Arjuna, jahi shatrum mahabaho, that your enemy is inside, not outside. This is another important point. When we study Bhagavad Gita, we have to remember that this world is not our enemy. Actually, it's a wrong thing to think. Somebody else is stopping me from advancing in spiritual life. Or so-and-so is responsible for this, society is responsible, the friends are responsible. Or they are not responsible. The enemy is inside. That's what Krishna has begun Bhagavad Gita with, isn't it? Jahishutram mahabahu kamarubam durasadam. That in the form of lust that is present inside is completely putting some blocks in your advancement in spiritual life. That means rajogunam and tamogunam, the two lower modes of nature. One has to free oneself from that. This is why it's spoken again and again to come to the mode of satugunam. Satugunam is important. Now here Krishna says in conclusion, idam ne nadavaskaya, nadavaskaya na abhaktaya kadachana. One who is not a devotee, one who does not accept Krishna consciousness, or who is beyond, who has no interest in Krishna consciousness, one should not talk to him about it, because he will not understand it, first thing. He will not understand it. There is no point in talking to him. Then,
yahi shatru mahabahu idam ne nadavaskaya na bhaktaya kadajana.
Then, na jo ajishrushave vachyam. One who does not have the service attitude to whom? To the spiritual master. To the spiritual master. One who does not accept the and desire to serve the spiritual master, and who has no desire to surrender to his instructions, na bhaktaya kadajana, and ajishrushave vachyam, na cha mam yobhyasoyadi. And also to those who are envious about the spiritual life one is leading about, such people also one should not talk this instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Then, in other words, bhakti, devotion, shraddha, faith, and tapas, austerities, those who don't have that, for them, this will not work. You see? That's why the difficulty is that those who have such things, they are the people who are qualified to hear Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita should be spoken to such people who have devotion, faith in Krishna's words, and who was performing some austerity. Now, when I say austerity, you may wonder, what does this austerity mean, isn't it? Austerity means, it is basically the way we live our life. The way we live our life. Like, everything in life is an austerity, as long as it is performed for a higher purpose. That's an austerity. Just like you have come to hear Bhagavad Gita, it's an austerity that you have decided to spend the on a Sunday afternoon to hear Krishna's words. That's an austerity. So, like this, when you are linking everything in your own life for the sake of advancing in Krishna consciousness, that becomes austerity. That is simple definition of austerity. Nothing more than that. But on the other hand, when we engage ourselves in satisfying our own senses and the material sense gratification, then it's not austerity. So, when it's executed for our own spiritual advancement, it is austerity. So, Krishna says here that to such people, if you preach this, it will be effective. And those who are insulting, offensive to Krishna, they will not find it very interesting. And therefore, only to such people who have got that shraddha, who has got that austerity, a devotee, and who has got the desire to hear, to such people it should be spoken. To others, it should not be spoken. Krishna says, there is no need to argue with people who deny the existence of God. There is no need for that. Whether he deny the existence, or he accept the existence of God, existence of Krishna, that is immaterial. It doesn't matter. We have seen this before. Those who says, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the existence of Krishna, to him, Krishna has to come in a different form to convince him, isn't it? While our speaking is not any more sensible, because that person has already taken that attitude. So that's why it is said like this. Krishna says, don't waste your time with such people. Because all these things in Bhagavad Gita, what we are talking about, one has to have certain anasuya way. We said that before, isn't it? In the 9th chapter, Raja Yoga, what Krishna says there, he says, Pravakshyami anasuyave. That is the qualification to hear Bhagavad Gita. So those who are denying existence, they have envy. They have envy. That is why they find it difficult to accept these words of Bhagavad Gita. To such people, it is pointless to talk about Krishna's instructions. So, basically, all what Krishna has spoken so far is in order to raise ourselves to the platform of spirit soul, to come to ourselves as the understand that we are spirit soul, to our own identity in that way. So, any time when we are moved away from our identity as spirit soul, swarupam, it's called swarupam. The moment we fall from that consciousness, that is sinful. That is a sinful situation. So that's why going back to swarupam, one's own proper identity, is the right thing to do first. One's own going to proper identity. That is the first thing to happen for anyone.
య ఇమం పరమం గుహ్యం మద్భక్తేష్వభిదాస్యది భక్తిం మయిం పరాం కృత్వాం మామవేషేత్య సంశయాః. Then Krishna says, first he said, to whom you should not speak Bhagavad Gita, but in the next verse, to whom you should speak Bhagavad Gita. Who are they? Whoever has got faith and devotion, and who are inquisitive to them again and again with great respect, and till they are satisfied, you should continue speaking the science of the soul. That such a personality, that person will develop devotion in due course, and he will be properly achieve the success in life. That's what that verse. Ya imam paramam guhyam malbhakte shabhidasyadi bhakti mayi param krutva maam eveshetya samshaya. There's no doubt about that, Krishna says. All these verses now, Krishna is talking about the studying Bhagavad Gita, how one should study. Najavasman manushyeshu kaschinme prekratama bhavida najame dasmal anya prayadarav bhuvi. That's important. Then, if you find somebody is inquisitive to know this truth of Bhagavad Gita, every whoever does that, Krishna is very pleased with him. Krishna is very pleased with him because Krishna wants this knowledge to stay in this world. And there is nothing more pleasing to Krishna than following his instructions. That is the first symptom of proper Krishna consciousness, to follow Krishna's instructions. Not externally we say things, but we don't do it. That's not. So Krishna admires such people who have taken it seriously in their life. Najavasman manishu is not no more dear to me, Krishna says. Bhavida najame tasmal anya prayadaro bhuvi. Krishna will be very pleased with them, and not only that feeling Krishna has got for such people, he won't have it too with anybody else. Krishna says that. Then, so in this verse, Krishna is saying who is dear to him, isn't it? Who is dear to him? Then Krishna says, this inquiry, in other words, when Krishna says, who is dear to me, what it is Krishna saying, who is inquiring about the self. That is what it means, isn't it? It's not that we are inquiring about Krishna, inquiring about the self also. Because that is the knowledge that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, to understand what we are as spirit soul, how to come out of this bodily understanding, bodily identity. So Krishna is in otherwise very pleased with that person who is inquiring about the truth, about his own identity, in other words, self-realization. That's what pleases Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find this. Bharata Maharshi, Jada Bharata, when he was talking to Rahugana, he talks about this, that there is nothing more dearer to him than inquiring about one's own identity. That's what pleases Krishna. That is what is pleasing Krishna. So, that's the same thing. Kastvam koham kuda ayada. Who am I? This is the question one is searching after in this world. Kastvam, who are you? Who am I? Koham, kuda ayada, where have I come from? These are the questions that Bhagavad Gita is discussing in this whole Bhagavad Gita is talking about this. Who am I? Who are you? Where have we come from? Then Krishna says, "Adyesha deja imam dharmyam samvadama vayoho jnanayajnayadenaham ishtasyal idime madim." Krishna says to Arjuna, this science, verse 70, this science in form of conversation between us, Krishna and Arjuna, one who hears this science with faith and devotion, then and who is studying this regularly and reflecting on that, Krishna will be pleased with him. The result of that, he will develop knowledge, renunciation and devotion, and he will be able to stand on his own. He would not require any more help from anybody. That's an important point Krishna wanted to make it there. Idam tu megu adyeshirya imam dharmyam samvada mavayoho. Jnana yajnana denaham ishtasya lidime madi. This is also called jnana yajnam. That's the title Krishna has given to this. Jnana yajnam. Jnana yajnam means the knowledge sacrifice. Sacrifice of knowledge. In other words,
whole of Bhagavad Gita is nothing but, we call it sometimes Gita Jnana Yajnam, isn't it? Gita Jnana Yajnam. Why is it called like that? Because Bhagavad Gita is nothing but, it is a yajnam for the pleasure of everybody, for their benefit, others' benefit, conducted as a sacrifice, but it is also a sacrifice of knowledge. It is through knowledge this sacrifice is performed. When we recite, read Bhagavad Gita, what is actually happening is, it builds up the knowledge in a person to progress on the spiritual life. Therefore, Krishna says like that.
Shraddhayashishunayadaviyo nara sobhimukta shubham logan prapnuyal punyakarmanam.
Suppose one could not do it, one could not practice it, but at least if he hears Bhagavad Gita from others, even such a thing is enough, Krishna says, because even in that case, auspicious things will happen to him. And somehow or the other, one should participate in the study of Bhagavad Gita. That's the most important thing. All of them. So abhimukta shubham logan, prapniyal punya karmanam. He will come to that situation. Then, kachideshudam vartha, tuyeg agrena chayadasa, kachidajnana sammoham, pranashtaste dhananjayaha. Then Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, everything confidential in relationship with spiritual knowledge, I have already spoken to you. And you have also understood that this is, have you heard everything what I have spoken so far? And if you have not heard and understood anything, there is no point in saying anything anymore about it. If you have heard it properly, all your doubts must have gone from now, must have gone by now. And one who hear this Bhagavad Gita properly even once, he cannot have any more doubts and he cannot be in ignorance anymore, Krishna says. If you are still having doubts, this is important. If you are still having doubts, and if you are still feeling it is not satisfying to you, that means Krishna is saying here, it's only because you have not heard it properly. You have not heard it properly. Because Krishna says, I can't do anything anymore. I have done what I can. And if it hasn't gone, penetrated still into one's mind, and he's still thinking, is this what correct Krishna says? That correct Krishna says? If you will these questions again and again, coming back, Krishna says, that is no use asking anymore. This must be, whatever I've spoken till now, must be enough to convince you the science of Krishna consciousness. That's where Krishna stops there. So you can see that now Krishna is asking one important question to Arjuna. That, have you understood what I've said so far? Krishna would not ask that question to someone easily unless Krishna was sure about it himself. That is the way Krishna is. Same thing with Uddhava also Krishna does. At the last minute, Krishna says to Uddhava, have you understood what I have spoken? And if you read Uddhava's reply at that time, which is not much different than Arjuna's reply at this time. There's a difference because the way Krishna presented Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava was in a little different platform. Little different platform. But both Uddhava and Arjuna had no doubt after that. This is the success of the spiritual master. There is no more doubts in the disciple. This is what is called instructing the disciple means. Krishna is a supreme spiritual master. And one who has taken initiation from Krishna doesn't have to worry about it. That's why this is said like this, that here you will see that proper relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. A spiritual master's duty is not only to talk about Krishna consciousness, but also to remove that after to hearing from him, the devotee should be free from all doubts in life. All doubts in life about the path, what he is pursuing. And he should be able to commit himself for that. So in that way, here Arjuna's answer is very noticeable. What does Arjuna says?
Nashto moha smridir labdha tul prasadan maya achyuda stitosmi gada sandeha karishe vajanam tava.
Very nice. Arjuna says, nashto moha smridir labdha tul prasadan maya achyuda stitosmi gada sandeha karishe vajanam tava. Arjuna says to Krishna that when he asked about Arjuna's position now, Arjuna's answer is that both the hands, he put it together on his head, and he says to Krishna, he is crying once he says, or he can see from the words, tears are coming from Arjuna's eyes while speaking these words, referring to Krishna as that the that what has happened to me now, I do not know, he says. I am experiencing something which I have not experienced before. What is that? Because of your mercy, all kinds of doubts and ignorance that was chasing me all along has completely left me. And not only that, I am now completely fixed up in what is my duty. In other words, what is my duty? And I am totally satisfied and I will execute what I have to do. That's why I say, Nashto moha smridir labdhva tval prasadan maya achyuda. See the word Krishna Arjuna has used, achyuda. That is the most appropriate word at that time. Why? We are not achyuda. That is why it is. We are all chuda. Every moment falling, every single day, as many times as possible happens to us. But here, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, achyuda, who never falls. So therefore, Arjuna says to him, Nashto moha smridir labdha. Moham has gone. Illusion has gone away from me. And I have got back my smriti. What's that smriti Krishna is Arjuna is talking about? My identity, I am spirit soul. That is in my mind now. I understand what I am. That is what Krishna wanted him to realize so far. Nashto moha smridir labdha. How? Tval prasadan maya achyudaha. It is because of your mercy, Arjuna says there. That's why it's important. Not that I've chanted so much, therefore I got it. No. Because it's your mercy that I've got this. You see, a devotee like Arjuna, a devotee like Uddhava, gopis, they all will recognize this fact. It is by Krishna's mercy that we get it. Nashto moha smridir labdha tval prasadan maya achyuda. Sthidosmi gada sandeha karishye vachanam tava. My doubts, which was always, these doubts are composed to be demons, isn't it? They continuously comes up in the mind all the time, in one way or the other, and they destroy us. Once one doubt comes, and if it doesn't go away, you know how it is, how many days it will hang on. And then you are looking this side, that side, is this correct, is that correct what I am doing? All kinds of moham develops from that. Sthidosmi gada sandeha. But Arjuna is saying to Krishna, that sandeham, that doubts I had, has completely gone from me. Now, karishye vachanam tava. I will do what is required according to your instructions. And at that point, Krishna was satisfied. When he heard this, Krishna was satisfied. Because there is nothing more satisfying to a spiritual master. There is nothing more satisfying to a spiritual master when he finds that his disciple has actually understood the message. You see, his disciple has actually understood the message. Because he is sweating, this is of course in Krishna's case, is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is true with others also. Everybody who takes that role of spiritual master, or who is qualified to be in that role of spiritual master, they are all Krishna's close confidential devotees. And they have taken up that big role of Krishna's servants. And they feel that great happiness when they see that the disciple has understood what he has spoken. And that you can see in these words of in Krishna's mood at the moment. That's something important to remember from Bhagavad Gita. When we study Bhagavad Gita, we shouldn't just study less important things. We should always watch that relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, how it's progressing. So, if we remember, in the beginning, what did Arjuna say to him, Krishna? In the beginning, Krishna was his driver. Isn't it? Ratham sthapayami achyuda. He says, park my car here, he says. I want to fight the war. That was the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Now, see what Krishna Arjuna says. Nashto moha smridir labdha tval prasada anmaya achyuda. Sthidosmi gada sandeha karishye vachanam tava. At that time, there was no karishye vachanam tava. Everything was, I'll tell you what you have to do that time. And now, Arjuna says, I'll do what you tell me to do. See how the changes happen from that situation to this. This is the effect of Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who takes Bhagavad Gita seriously will come to that point one day. There is no question about that. Because directing, it is for us Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. It was not for Arjuna. Arjuna didn't need it actually. It's for our benefit, because as I mentioned before, as soon as we study Bhagavad Gita, your picture should come to us. The chariot. Krishna driving the chariot. Arjuna as a passenger of the chariot. The horses. And the rain, which is all nothing but what we are today. Isn't it? What we are today. This chariot is this body, material body, what we have got. The senses are the horses, which is going crazy in all directions, driving us. And then the mind is there, which somehow tries to control these horses a bit, sometimes wins, sometimes loses, it goes on like that. And then the intelligence is there, where if we accept Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will drive the chariot. And inside that, it is us who are the soul in this chariot, moving in this body, till it collapses one day in this world, and we are gone from here. So, you can see how close that relationship is between the chariot and what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna. So if you remember that, you will see that these words, what Krishna has spoken, is actually directed to us, those who want to progress on the spiritual life. So, Sanjay Vacha. Now we are coming to a closer. Sanjay Vacha. Krishna says, Sanjaya says now. Sanjaya comes back. Iti aham vasudevasya parthasya jamahalmanaha samvadamimama shrausha albhudam romaharshanam. Then, iti aham vasudevasya parthasya jamahalmanaha. Me, Sanjaya says, this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I have heard how samvadamimama shrausha albhudam romaharshanam, that Albudam Ramaharshanam. It is such a wonderful experience. Sanjaya had this good fortune because Vedavyasa Maharshi gave him the ability to hear this conversation. And we also feel that the position of Sanjaya here is like a witness, isn't it, of this conversation. And between Arjuna and Krishna, that conversation, Sanjaya is a witness here. We also have to experience that, what Sanjaya experienced from Bhagavad Gita. After how Sanjaya experienced that, in the same way, we should also experience this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And then he glorifies Vedavyas for what favor he has done to Sanjaya. Sanjaya says, Vyasa prasada shudavan edal guhyatamam param yogam yogeshwaral krishnal sachal kathayada swayam. Vyasa Prasadal. It is only due to the mercy of Vedavyasa Maharshi that I have heard this. Otherwise I would not have heard this. I was not qualified to hear this. But Vedavyasa Maharshi gave me the opportunity to hear this. That is why it is said Vyasa Prasadal. Vedavyasa Maharshi's mercy it is. Like that is why in the Bhagavad Gita's glorification we sing, Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhehe. Vyasa Vishala Buddhi. Vishala Buddhi means that he had that great intelligence. That is what Vedavyasa Maharshi is. Nobody can match their intelligence with Vedavyas. Only a personality like Vedavyas could compile literature like Mahabharatam and also Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore he is Vyasa Vishala Buddhi. So that is why he is paying his tribute or respects to Vedavyas here. Vyasa Prasada Shudavan Edal Guhyadamam Param. This confidential knowledge, Guhyadamam Param, topmost confidential knowledge, I was able to hear. Why is it so confidential and important? Because it is concerned about us. It's concerned about us, all of us. It's concerned about us, our duty. It is reminding us what our duty is, what's our goal is. All these things are spoken here. Yogam Yogeshwaral Krishnal Sachal Kathayada Swayam. Then, because it is spoken about us and spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Yogeshwara, the supreme controller of all yoga systems, he has spoken this, therefore it is important. Why it is important? Because it is spoken about us. When you hear that something is spoken about you, you obviously will be more interested to hear, isn't it? Just like one person was going, another person was coming opposite from him. So the person who coming from opposite, this person was going, he was going to catch the tube or something like that in his rush business in the Monday morning or to going to work. So the other person wanted to talk to him. He won't stop. He was rushing. So this person thought the only way he could stop him was to tell him that I heard something about you, he said. As soon as he said that, immediately he said, oh, I got all the time now, tell me what has he said about that. So similarly, this Bhagavad Gita, we must understand, it's spoken about us. We, the conditioned souls of this body, of this world, who it is spoken about. When we understand that, then you will know why it is important for us to hear Bhagavad Gita again and again, never to stop, continue to hear. So, like this, hearing Bhagavad Gita means what? Hearing Bhagavad Gita means up to come to the conclusion that finally goal is Krishna, nothing else. That's the Bhagavad Gita's conclusion. And when comes to that conclusion, then he has understood Bhagavad Gita. Goal is Krishna. Nothing else in this world matters. And then the journey starts from there. In that journey, there will be a lot of problems because of the prarabdham, karmam, and because of the vasanas inside, because of the association with modes of nature, all those problems will be there. But so long as the goal is clear, the journey will go on, and it will only stop when it reaches Golokam. At that time, this train will move up to that point. It cannot stop. This is the perfection of spiritual life. So Krishna is saying that Sanjay is mentioning that here also. Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadamimam albhudam keshavarjanayo punyam khrishyavicha muhurmuhum. Sanjaya's happiness of hearing Bhagavad Gita, he's staying here. How happy he felt. Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadamimam albhudam. What Sanjaya is doing here, he's remembering again and again what Krishna has spoken. In other words, like Sanjay has done, we also have to do the same thing. It's not that, oh, I finished Bhagavad Gita now. I finished with all the long ago and I don't need to eat anymore. Finish that. That is not what it is. Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadamimam albhudam. Samsmritya samsmritya. Again and again, he is reflecting on that. In other words, he is doing that mananam at that time. Contemplating on the words of Krishna, which will last in this creation forever, so long as the rivers and mountains and the seas exist in this world, sun rises, and so long as there are people inquiring about the truth, this Bhagavad Gita will stay in this creation. This Bhagavad Gita will stay in the creation. It was not spoken in one day or 2 days ago. It was not even spoken 5,000 years ago, because Krishna says in the fourth chapter, isn't it? Imam Vivasvade Yogam. It was at the time of Vivasvan we have spoken this. This knowledge was spoken even at that time. So it has survived from Vivasvan's time till now, which means how many millions of years. So it has survived, and Krishna's desire was it should stay in this world for the benefit of the society. As and when it loses its popularity, some way or the other it comes back again. That is knowledge. Nobody can destroy it. Nobody can throw it, wipe it out from this world. It's not possible. That's why, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam albhudam. It's a wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. This samvadam between Krishna and Arjuna. And when I think about this, what's happening to me, Arjuna? Sanjaya says here, Keshavarjunayo punyam krishyamicha muhormuhum. Keshavarjunayo punyam. That between Keshava and Arjuna, thinking about Keshava and Arjuna, my mind is completely getting affected by that, he says, when I am doing this. That happiness what he gets from mananam, that is what it is spoken here. I mentioned this before, mananam is such an important thing. Simply there is no point in reading Bhagavad Gita as a ritual or a routine thing. Oh, I am finished by the... finished. Oh, 18 chapters over. There it is. Finished. And now first chapter again. This is not that. Mananam is important. It is from mananam that you get that strength. That is why in order to point out this to us, in the Bhagavatam also it's the same philosophy. Everything, these principles of Krishna consciousness and this philosophy of Krishna consciousness will not stay there unless it is chewed again and again and again. again and again and again. And only with that culture will build up in us. And samskaram will build up. And that will drive us for Sharanagati at the end to Krishna. So, through Sanjaya and these verses, we have to notice also how a listener of Bhagavad Gita should accept Bhagavad Gita. In what way he should accept Bhagavad Gita. If he doesn't do that, what will happen is that it will not have its desired result, the impact on the person. He'll just say that, oh, it's all recorded, put it on the web and people will read and listen, that'll go. It should go through one's own self. One should understand it, read it, think about it, analyze it, and question it, find answers for that, and in this way, it should become a part of the person. Bhagavad Gita should become a part of the person. And this is what that famous story, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam, what happened was that there was a Brahmana reading Bhagavad Gita, and he did not know the language very well, Sanskrit very well, but he was looking at Bhagavad Gita and crying, continuously tears coming from his eyes. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmana, why you are crying? So in reply to that, the Brahmana says to Mahaprabhu, I am simply crying because when I see this relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, that after giving all this knowledge to Arjuna, Krishna was still willing to drive the chariot for him. Think about that mercy, he says. Mahaprabhu was moved by that statement of the Brahmana. He said, this is what is understanding Bhagavad Gita means. Because the Brahmana has come to that stage of Sharanagati already, by Krishna's mercy. Although he didn't have to go through this extended process of karma, jnanam and bhakti, because bhakti has gone to that level in him. His devotion was so high, Mahaprabhu said, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. So in order to bring us to that point of Sharanagati and surrender to Krishna, the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken. For those like us who requires everywhere convincing argument, logic, reasoning, and still there will be still more doubts and clarifications and emails and this, everything. For all such people, Bhagavad Gita is necessary. But Brahmana didn't have any of these email or fax or anything, nothing he had. All he had was one Bhagavad Gita. He read it and he understood some things, but some thoughts came to him that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna is his devotee. And this is what the Jagalguru, Supreme Spiritual Master, is doing for his devotee. As soon as these thoughts came to him, because of that satugunam inside, the purity inside, he could not restrict himself. Tears started coming from his eyes. So, then he says here, Tacha samsmritya samsmritya rupamati albudam harim. Tacha samsmritya samsmritya rupamati albudam hare vismayome mahan rajan vishyamija puna punaha. So here Krishna says, Sanjaya says here, because these are Sanjaya's words. Sanjaya says, Tacha samsmritya samsmritya rupamati albudam hare. You remember in the 11th chapter, Sanjaya had also the opportunity to see the universal form, isn't it? Visharupa darshanam. And that form of Krishna came up to his mind at this point. The form of Visharupam, universal form came to his mind. And he's saying here, that thoughts of seeing that form was enough for me, he says here. Then, when I think about it, he says, I am in a wonderful mood, I feel. Again and again, I am feeling the bliss of seeing that form of Krishna. Tacha samsmritya samsmritya rupam ati albudam harehe. Hari is Krishna, Hari is that form is ati albudam. Wonderful, extremely wonderful, he says. And vismayomi maha anrajan krishyami cha puna punam. That when I think about this conversation and that form, I am feeling again and again, I am experiencing a great happiness within me. This knowledge of what Krishna has spoken, Sanjaya is concluding that with the Krishna's and Arjuna's, this beautiful conversation I've heard with my own ears, and was actually I'm not qualified to hear this, But because of Vedavyasa Maharshi's mercy, you see, everybody in spiritual life, they have to recognize this, that it is only by the mercy of the spiritual master that we are able to receive this knowledge. And I think about this conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, my happiness is increasing all the time. And result of that is, I am always able to remember that universal form, and I think about it, I am more and more amazed by that. And that is how he concludes. Sanjaya's words were finished there. Now the last word in the verse in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Vartho Dhanurdharaha Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhudir Dhruvo Nidir Madir Mamam.
This is the 78, verse 78.
Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatra Vartho Dhanurdharaha Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhudir Dhruvo Nidir Madir Mamam.
This verse in the Bhagavad Gita is called Ega Shloka Gita. Ega Shloka means this one verse represents the whole Bhagavad Gita. One verse represents whole Bhagavad Gita. That's why it's been given so much importance. Therefore it's called Ega Shloka Gita. So those who find time difficult with time, at least if they can recite this verse, that will make them benefited by that benefit of hearing Bhagavad Gita, because it is the potency of this Bhagavad Gita's words. So, here, it says here, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Krishna who is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means who is the supreme controller of all yoga systems. And he is the topmost yogi also.
Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha. Partha Arjuna who holds Dhanurdhara. He is all the holder of the weapon, Dhanus, Gandivam. Tratra Shreer Vijayo Bhudir Dhruvani Dharma Dharmama. Wherever they are there, there are all kinds of opulences, success, and vibhudis, and nitis, and justice, everything will be there. What else can I say? This is how it is concluded in the Bhagavad Gita.
Iti Srimal Mahabharate Shadasahasriyam Samhidayam Vaiyasikyam Bhishma Urvani Srimal Bhagavad Gita Upanishalsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Mosha Sanyasa Yoga Nama Ashtadashodhyaya.
So that is how the end of Bhagavad Gita. Now in this verse we have there are a closer connection with this verse and the Upanishads. As I mentioned before, Upanishads knowledge is in Bhagavad Gita. It is nothing but the knowledge of the Upanishads. Why it is knowledge of the Upanishads? You must also understand that, because you see, the Vedic knowledge normally has been categorized into two groups. This classification is based on one's qualification. One group of people who are called Uttamadhikari, and the other group is called Mandadhikari. Uttamadhikari and Mandadhikari. What is the difference between the two? Uttamadhikari is that person who does not require any logic and reasoning to accept spiritual life. You see, doesn't require any convincing. There are people in this world who doesn't require any convincing. Already due to their previous samskar in previous lifetimes, or even due to a higher degree of executive spiritual life in the past, he has already come to that conclusion. So you will notice such people, when they come to this world, they do not take much interest in this world, because they had, somehow the prarabdham has brought them here, and till the prarabdham is finished, they have to stay here. So they are only here, they are very conscious of that they are here temporarily, and that lifetime what they have here, they will try to perfect their spiritual position. There are very few people, rare people like that. And in the ancient times, when there was proper varnashramam and a higher degree of spirituality in the society, there were many people who belonged to that category. In other words, when varnashrama dharmam existed, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudram, and Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, all these things are an indication that the society was healthy, living in a healthy way.
So in that society, those who were accepted as on the Brahminical culture, on the Brahminical platform, where the Brahminical consciousness was strong, they did not require any kind of logicizing or conviction from others. To, it's not that the young Brahmana boys, they were preached to them first, that you take to spiritual life. And they were hesitating to take to spiritual life. This didn't exist at that time. This didn't exist at that time. By nature, they were like that. They had that, as soon as they grew up in that way. At the age of 4 or 5 itself, they have experienced that this is the goal. It has come to their mind automatically. It comes to them. That is due to their sukhadam. In the previous lifetimes, it has happened to them. So such people, for such people, what is important is they are thirst for the transcendental knowledge in this life also. Their hunger is so strong that they would not wait for arguing about it and discussing about it. Arguing and discussing about it. For their benefit, Vedas and Upanishads were compiled. For their benefit, Vedas and Upanishads were compiled. That is why when you study Vedas and Upanishads, most of the people in the modern world will find it very, very hard to relish it. Why? Because there is no taste for it. That mind is not ready to accept it. Because of the conditioning and because of the previous samskara that's come with them, therefore it's called, they are called Mandadhigari. Mandadhigari means they are finding it hard to accept Vedas and Upanishads. So for such people, Vedavyasa Maharshi, who is most magnanimous and the great sages, they compiled Itihasams and Puranas for us. Itihasams and Puranas for us. All Puranas, including Srimad Bhagavatam and Itihasams, Ramayanam and Mahabharatam, were compiled for those people who does not have that kind of frame of mind, whom we talked about Uttamadhyari. Now the difference between Uttamadhyari and Mandadhyari is this. Mandadhyari, if you speak the way Upanishads speak the truth, Upanishads are the highest realm of thought among the Vedas also. This is the last thing which is studied by the sannyasis and in the forest day after even finishing that state. So one who is studying Upanishads, his consciousness should be so elevated that he is not at that point trying to logicize thing and think, checking it is true or not. That stage is finished for him long ago, in previous lifetimes itself. He has already come to the stage, he is ready to go back now to the spiritual world. So here the question comes that those who are not in that state of consciousness, which is 99.99% of this world, Vedavyas felt that compassion for them. And so what he decided was, in the same message in the Vedas and Upanishads, he presented to the world through Puranams and Itihasams. Puranams and Itihasams. Like all the Puranas, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam was all nothing but the same message in the Vedas and Upanishads, but presented to us through history. Through history. History of this creation. And that is why we find we are able to relate with it. Suppose Srimad Bhagavatam was not here. Suppose Ramayanam was not here. Suppose Mahabharatam was not here. We bring study here. Oh, we are going to discuss Taittiriya Upanishad this morning. And everything we start talking about it and discussing. Not many people will come. Not many people will come. Because in their mind, they cannot connect with it. You see, unless you are able to connect with something, you can't accept it. It's very difficult, isn't it? That's our nature, human nature. Even now, even with Puranam and Upanishad, the Bhagavad Gita, how many times the doors are getting closed and open? If this is the qualification what we have, imagine if Upanishads were discussed here, what would have happened? The door will never open even. That is what would have happened. So that is why we are called Mandadhigari. Our adhigaram or qualification is that level. That's where we are today. That's what we have to understand. Puranams and Itihasams were the history, from history. What is Mahabharatam? Mahabharatam is nothing but Vedavyasa Maharshi's family story. Isn't it? It's nothing but family story it is. What has happened? The whole, he is writing his own biography, in other words. Is it biography? Autobiography, isn't it? Autobiography, yes. Autobiography, Vedavyasa Maharshi's autobiography is Mahabharatam. Right from beginning to end, what he is saying, that this happened, that happened, that he was witnessing all that, and he put it all together in a book. And what happened? But there, he presented the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, through that. So, because it is like that, we are able to watch the Mahabharatam serial, Mahabharatam cassettes, Mahabharatam book, we are able to read, and also release a little bit of that. That much taste we have got by some Krishna's mercy. We have got that. That's where we are today. Okay. Same thing with Ramayana also. When the effigy is burned there, Ravana's effigy, 8 o'clock on that day, every one of us go there. At least that much we are able to connect with Ravana and to Rama also. Otherwise, where is the connection for us with spiritual world? What is our connection with spiritual world otherwise? Nothing. Otherwise, our interest will be still go back to the television serials and back to the other things what we are used to. So, in order that, because in this world, majority in the Kali Yuga will be Mandadhikaris, not Uttamadhikaris. Mandadhikaris also need to advance in spiritual life. So because of that, Vedavyas compiled these all Puranas and the history of the world, because through history we can accept it. We all have a taste for history, isn't it? We all have a taste for history. But the message is important, what he is telling us. That is what is important for us. Just by hearing history is good, but it's not just like we study history in the school. We study history and we left it there, just to get our A star or A or whatever that was. So, that's finished there. That's not how this history is. This history is to force us to understand something more important than all these things. So therefore, Uttamadhikari, Mandadhikari, Vedas and Upanishads, Puranams and Itihasams. Two different levels, two different kinds of people. Vedavyasa Maharshi is not saying, because you are all Mandadhikari, you are all useless. And he says, rejecting us. He never did that. Even the anyone who has got a human form of body, he has got an opportunity to understand the truth, the absolute truth. And therefore, in order to elevate us from this condition, he wrote this literature of Upanishads, the Puranams and Itihasams. Okay. Now, why is Bhagavad Gita important here? Bhagavad Gita's position is like this. Bhagavad Gita's position is like this. Bhagavad-gita's position. Because the knowledge in the Upanishads, Krishna wanted to present it to us, he picked knowledge of the Upanishads from different Upanishads. Not only Upanishads, he also took Sangham, Yogam, Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti. From all sides he pulled together. And the whole essence of the Vedic literature, he presented it through Bhagavad-gita to Arjuna. That is what Krishna has done here. All these great personalities, you will notice, they will not say, I got an answer for you, your problem. That's not how they talk. They never talk like that. They will say, in the past, great sages have spoken like this. I'll talk to you what I heard from them. Including Krishna follows that rule. Because this knowledge has been realized long ago by the great personalities, sages. And what they have realized, Krishna is going to repeat it again. And that is how he has spoken this Bhagavad Gita. So that Upanishad's knowledge is in the Bhagavad Gita, which was meant for Uttama Adhikaris. And that is what, through this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has presented to us. So, while concluding this Bhagavad Gita, we should also note that connection. What is that connection between us and Bhagavad Gita, and us and Upanishads? Isn't it? Upanishad's knowledge is in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that in the introduction, Upanishad, Gita is considered as another Upanishad, isn't it? Although it is in the middle of Mahabharatam, which is an Itihasam, it is considered to be Upanishads. Whereas all the other Upanishads comes in the Vedas, as the later part of the Vedas. Whereas Bhagavad Gita alone, which is called Gita Upanishad, comes in Mahabharatam, which is an Itihasam. Okay. There Krishna says here that we have to see this in the light of Upanishads. Therefore, Krishna says here, the Upanishad statements, let us look at it, what it says about this. In the Upanishads, what it is spoken is, Mundaka Upanishad, if you take, you will find there, that Asait Vilid, it says there, Danur Grihitva Aubanishanam Mahastram Danuhu Grihitva Upasana Nishitam Sharam Sandadidam Ayamet Bhagavadaina Chedasa Lakshyam Saumyaha. What Krishna says in the Upanishads, it says here that Krishna and Arjuna, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, isn't it? Wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is Arjuna, Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhudir Dhruva Nidhar Madhar Mama. That is the verse. That, in other words, it is in this verse, Arjuna has come to the final position of understanding Krishna, and Vedavyas is saying here, wherever they are together, there is success. In other words, our success also in the same way is when we are with Krishna, not otherwise. The moment we realize we are with Krishna, then there is success. Arjuna is nothing but our representation there. So, when we come to understand we are with Krishna, then we are spiritually safe. We are come to the perfectional stage at that point. That is the most important thing to remember here. That all the knowledge, everything, and this science, actually Krishna should have spoken as Yuddha Shastram, isn't it? It's mostly about, in the war this is being spoken. But actually it is always titled as Yoga Shastram, because it's most of a yoga system that Krishna is talking about here. So in other words, Yogeshwara, Dhanurdhara, all these words are representing that. That there is a famous mantra in the Shruti. It says here, Pranavo Dhanu, Pranavo Dhanu, Pranavam Om is the bow. And then Sharo Hyalma, Atma, the soul is the arrow. The soul is the arrow. And then, Brahma dal laksham uchyade. The goal is Brahmam or Krishna. The goal is Brahmam or Krishna. And then, apramethena vedhavyam. That one should withdraw all his senses, mind, everything from the apramethena vedhavyam, from all the other objects in this world. And then, sharaval tanmayo bhavel. And he should shoot the arrow. This is the statement in the Upanishad. Shruti Mantram it's called. This is how it is explained. Why is it said like that? Because a person who wants to execute spiritual life, this should be the attitude of that person. The goal is Krishna. The goal is Krishna. And the arrow is there. Sharam, he says here, Sharam, or the arrow is us. We are the arrow to be shot to reach the goal, Krishna, to reach Krishna's lotus feet. If you remember, in Mahabharata, this famous story of Arjuna shooting the arrow, isn't it? You heard about that. Once it so happened, Dronacharya came to, conducting a test on all the students. Duryodhana was there, Pandavas were there, so many other his disciples were there. So he asked them, he hung up a bird in a tree, a green bird, in a huge tree on the top, and then he asked each one of them to shoot the bird. So during that conversation, you heard this, that the different people gave different answers. But when he asked Arjuna, what do you see now? Do you see the tree? He said, no. Do you see the green leaves? He said, no. What do you see then? In answer to that, Arjuna says, I only see the bird, and that too only the bird's eyes, he said. So, from this word, from this incident, you can see, one who is flowing in the spiritual path towards Krishna also requires a mind like that. Also requires a mind like that. Otherwise, he won't reach the destination. That is why in the Shruti, it is spoken like this. Shruti means Vedas. Pranavo Dhanu, Pranavam Om. That is talking about Omkara Vasana, who has to use the letter Om to advance spiritual path. Pranavo Dhanu, Sharo Halpa, the arrow is the soul. Brahmadal Laksham Uchade, Krishna is ultimately the goal. Apramatena Vedhavyam, that without any engagement in any kind of sense gratification, Sharaval Tanmayo Bhavel, the arrow will go and hit the final. If you shoot the arrow in that way, the arrow will go and hit the target. It will go and hit the target. Sharaval Sharaval Tanmayo Bhavil. It will go and reach the goal, Krishna's lotus feet. That is the goal it will reach. Then, so, in this way, when Krishna is talking about Sarvadharman Paritejya, this is all you have to keep in your mind. That the body Krishna has given to us is to go back to Krishna. That is the only use as far as Krishna is concerned from this body. There is no other use from this body. And whereas we are always thinking, if I can maintain my body nicely with Krishna's help, that's my spiritual life at the moment. But what Krishna is saying here is, I've given you this body, it's like a bow and an arrow, and if you use this arrow properly, Sharaval, what does the word says here? Sharav Hyalma Pranavodhanu. That Sharam, Sharas, the Sharam means the arrow, is Alma, the soul. If it is shot properly, the soul will reach that final destination, Krishna's lotus feet. Otherwise, it will go on like this here, in different bodies again and again. So you see, what Krishna is talking about is something very, very important. So it is important that that this arrow, what we are going to shoot towards Krishna, to reach Krishna's lotus feet, then arrow requires constant sharpening also. Otherwise it won't go properly to the right direction. If it is rusty, and if it is not properly sharpened, it may not reach the destination, and it will not join that destination, reach Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore it is said that continuously you have to sharpen this arrow. How do you sharpen the arrow? Through the knowledge. Jnana-sino-vasanaya-nishityam. In the Bhagavatam that is out, he said, Jnanam and Upasana, two things. Continuously contemplating on what Krishna has instructed us, and Upasana, execution of sadhana. Strong sadhana and strong cultivation of knowledge. These are the two things. Jnanasin Upasanaya Shirena. When these two things are there, this soul, which is the arrow, will get sharpened. And the soul will go in that direction, right direction. Otherwise, what will happen? If the soul is rusted and the soul has no spiritual life, it will stay here in the different material bodies. That is what the Upanishad's way of presenting it. That when the mind is totally fixed and focused in that goal, and then all our execution of spiritual life will go improperly in the right way. So therefore, it is so important what it Krishna says with the Vedavyasa Maharshi statement, that Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shreer Vijayo Bhodir Dhruva Nidhar Madhar Mama. Krishna says like this, and it is in the background of this that Krishna has spoken all these things. And Karmam, Sanghyam, Yogam, Bhakti, Jnanam, and all how to practice, everyone how to execute Karmam, how to execute Jnanam, how to execute Bhakti, how to execute Sanghyam, all these things are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. When one has studied all that, and when one's mind becomes matured in that way, and he will be able to shoot this arrow. He will be able to shoot this arrow. So therefore you can see why one should study Bhagavad Gita very, very, very seriously. Very seriously. And it is till we leave this world, it has to stay with us. Bhagavad Gita should stay with us. One or two things, what Prabhupada has spoken about it, also I should mention this here. Of course, they are in reference to these verses. If you look at the verses, then the verse number 65, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, very, very important instructions. Translation 65, verse 65, chapter 18. Krishna says, always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. That's the translation. In the purport, Prabhupada says there, it's the third line, life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. Then, so, very clear, very straightforward, isn't it? And then at the end he says, further down, he says, he should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayana, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his form, mind, on the form that was present before Arjuna. In other words, the form, Krishna's form, is so important. That it is that form, like Bhagavadam said, Evecha Amshakala Pumsam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. No other form is to be worshipped. Devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. So, that is another important point. And then you should also read this long purport on the Sarvadharman Parityajya verse, what Prabhupada has written. So, there, and well, just only reading out one or two important points what Prabhupada has mentioned, because if I start reading all the verses and comments and translation purport, won't get enough time. If you go into verse 73, in the purport, if you read further down, about 5 or 6 lines down, Prabhupada says there, if he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. In illusion, the living entity serving in this material world, he is bound by his lust and desires, yet he thinks of himself as the master of the world. This is called illusion. In other words, our normal life is nothing but illusion. That's what it is. Then further down, Prabhupada says, the living entity thinks that he is no longer a conditioned soul, but God. He is so unintelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could be he in doubt? That he does not consider. So that is the last snare of illusion. Maya's last resort is to think like this, that I am God, so I don't need to do anything else in this world. I am okay. So, verse 75, if you read there, in the last paragraph, Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, all the yoga systems, Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam and Bhakti Yogam are all explained. Krishna is the master of all such mysticism. So, Karmam, Jnanam and Bhakti, they are all discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. And for so, we cannot ignore anything. Everything else also is important. So, there we finish Bhagavad Gita. So, a few things. First thing, before we close Bhagavad Gita, then last two and a half years, I think we started in October 2005, we started with Bhagavad Gita. And with lot of difficulties now and then, we had to stop sometime, we could start again. Like this, it carried on. And my apologies to you all, because it was not my deliberate intention to be like that. It's my incapacity and helplessness that I had to do it like that. So my apologies to all of you for that, number one. Number two, you had come many Sundays, many of you had been coming regularly, and many of you had come at different times due to different reasons, whatever it may be. But you may have found something in all these classes, something that has helped you in your spiritual pursuit or in your cultivation of Krishna consciousness. If you have not found something useful, you wouldn't have come. That is clear, isn't it? Along with that, you must have also found so many things what I have spoken may not be up to your understanding, or I may be wrong in what the way I have presented it. But that is my shortcoming, which I have to accept that also. If you have found something in what we have discussed in these last 2.5 years from Bhagavad Gita, if you have found something useful, and something that has helped you in your Krishna consciousness, there is one person to whom all this credit belongs to. There is one person to whom all this credit belongs to. It is important that we remember that great soul who gave us this opportunity to sit and discuss Bhagavad Gita, who gave us the, taught us the importance of Bhagavad Gita, and who guided us all the way through in our pursuit for Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, under whose guidance and who woke us up to the reality from our illusory way of life, from illusion, he brought us to the reality. And it is only because of Prabhupada's mercy that we are able to experience this joy from Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, what is our position in this world? What do we know? What is our situation? Ignorant as we are, but somehow or the other, Prabhupada came and spoke very strongly to wake us up to this reality of Krishna consciousness. So that gratitude will always should be there in the top of our heart all the time. And remember this also, whenever we have to say this openly, publicly to everybody, this point is important, that it is only due to Prabhupada's causeless mercy that today we are able to sit and discuss Bhagavad Gita like this in a group. It's possible only because of that, nothing else. It's only because of that. And the instruction from Krishna is that this should be declared openly and publicly to everyone before when we discuss Bhagavad Gita. In every single class it's difficult to say, but at least at the conclusion, I think we have to mention this, and anything what you have found in Bhagavad Gita beneficial and useful in your spiritual life, if ever you have found, if there is any credit for that, everything goes to Srila Prabhupada. Everything goes to Srila Prabhupada. At the same time, you may have found a lot of faults in this. Nothing is perfect in this world. While speaking, I have made a lot of mistakes. My own realizations were not proper. There could be so many faults in that. Plus, I may have missed something to mention, and which may not be totally in line with what Prabhupada has taught us. There are so many drawbacks in us, because it is not possible to understand Srila Prabhupada 100%. Whatever he has said, something we have understood, something we have read, something we heard from others. Like this, we have developed some understanding of Bhagavad Gita, what we have discussed in these 2 years. So if ever there were any faults in anything, if you consider that as a fault or any mistakes, there is one person responsible for that also, that's me. So you can give that to me, and the other things you can offer it to Prabhupada. Why I'm saying this is, if you remember, I don't know whether you remember this incident, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, when they were tied down to the two trees, they had to take the form of two trees, isn't it? Remember that pastime in the Bhagavatam? That Krishna was drawing the, the mortar behind him, and that was the day that they have completed their 100 years punishment from the curse from Sri Narada Maharshi. When they went there, Krishna wanted to pull them down, both the trees, and offer them liberation, goes back to their own previous bodies. They were Kuvera's children, Vaishravana's children they were. And due to offensive to Sri Narada Maharshi, he cursed them, and they had to accept this position as to stand there as two trees. But as a great personality, Narada Muni was also merciful to offer them liberation, sold them 100 years. If you stand there like that, then Krishna will come and he will send you back to your own previous position. So that morning, when this happened in the morning, on that particular day when Yashoda Devi, Mother Yashoda, tied Krishna to the mortar. So after that, that pastime was over, and that is the next pastime happening is this pulling down these two trees. The mortar was pulled in there. Krishna managed up very hard to pull the mortar in between and pull the trees down. He had to do a lot of things there. So after all that, in the Bhagavatam, if you take and look at there, you will see there, these two personalities, our Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they are glorifying Krishna. And it is one of the topmost glorification, because These people are highly educated. They are Vaishravana's children. Who taught them? Lord Shiva has taught them. They were Lord Shiva's disciples. So, wealth-wise, they were very wealthy because they are the treasure of the demigods, is Vaishravana. Vaishravana's children means extremely wealthy. Secondly, a highly educated, high birth, everything, they were very, very proud and very knowledgeable people. So when they started glorifying Krishna, they started with Vani Guna Anukamane Shravanam Kathayam. That's a beautiful prayers in the Bhagavadam, in the 10th canto. So when they were glorifying Krishna, at that point, Krishna was looking at them, not interested in hearing anything what they said. They were saying, Krishna was thinking, I had heard enough of this in Vaikuntham, your so-called prayers. I don't want to hear this anymore. I didn't come here to hear this, I am Brahmam, I am this, I am that, and all that. Nobody has to tell me what I am. This was Krishna's mood at that time. If somebody could tie it off, this knot, what my mother has tied on me, somebody could do me that favor, that would be the best thing anyone could do it to me. This was the mood at that time. Krishna's mood at that time was like this. Instead of standing there, two of these persons telling me, you are this, you are that, you are Advaita Brahman, this, that and the other, I don't want to hear any of these things, he said. But if somebody could do this to favor to me, that is the greatest favor, you can do that to me. So he did not show any interest in that prayers from Nalakuvera and Manigriva for a long period of time. The verses, many verses he has spoken there. None. But in the middle of that, they understood this. We are glorifying Krishna. He is not showing any interest in us. So if you say you are glorifying somebody and that person says, forget it, I don't want to hear any of your, what you are telling me, how will it be? The person who is glorifying, how would he feel? So this is exactly what has happened there. So, but at that point, they said to Krishna something and that changed the whole scenario. What did they say? They said like this, it's because of Sri Narada Maharshi's mercy that we had got this opportunity to see you like this today and to get out of this situation. When as soon as Narada Maharshi's name was mentioned, immediately Krishna started listening to it. Devarshime Praedama Dhanadau Dhanadalmajau. Bhagavadam says like this. Are you connected with Narada Muni anyway? He says like that. Krishna is openly saying this. Oh, if you are connected with Narada Muni, I would like to hear something about what has been spoken. What did you say now? That was the next thing. Then Krishna put his ears to hear. Similarly, everything what we do in spiritual life, if we go and talk to Krishna, deal with him directly, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. That is not Krishna's tradition. Krishna's tradition is, my devotee is there, take his shelter. Take his shelter, come through him, I will accept you, he will listen to us. But therefore, that is why I'm saying, it is so important, under all these times, when we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, every time, our mind should be such that it is to be remembered that it is only due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's representative, that we have got this opportunity to hear about Krishna. Not because of our, we shouldn't think, it's because of my capacity or my capabilities or qualifications that I am studying Bhagavad Gita now. No. We can't understand anything. What can we understand? As I mentioned before, we can't even sit 10 minutes here. This is what we are. And we are the people who are talking about going back to Krishna. Where are we? So, there is no point that mind is not allowing us to sit and listen about, hear about Krishna. That is how disturbed we are in our own life. This is how disturbed we are. We can't even sit 10 minutes and hear about Krishna. This is how we are. And this is the people, so much control we have on our own mind. And we are talking about going back to Krishna. So, therefore, in all these things, Krishna has set up a process. And that process is, come through my devotee. And we have to always say this repeatedly and stress this point openly. That's what Krishna wants us to say. It's only due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy and Prabhupada's desire that we are able to, and by his causeless mercy alone, that we have got this limited opportunity to hear Bhagavad Gita for so many years or months, whatever it has taken. So, this is how I want to finish Bhagavad Gita. And now we have one more class next Sunday. And that Sunday we will deal with questions and answers, if there are any questions still. I'm hoping that there won't be many questions, because if you have taken Bhagavad Gita seriously, questions shouldn't come. But if there are still questions, and if they are still to be discussed, we can discuss it next Sunday. After that, I have to go back to India for some personal reasons. So I'm going to go back and spend some time in India. And when I come back, I'm hoping I can start our Ekadasha Skandam much more seriously. Hopefully, Krishna has been so kind to me and to you all that we were able to, somehow or the other in this lifetime, at least once, we were able to discuss Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's supreme instructions to this world. Hopefully, Krishna will allow us also to discuss complete Srimad Bhagavatam in the same way. My respectful obeisances to all of you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Jai. Jai.